This is FMA Mulan Fusion, featuring Trans Woman Ed, a Full Metal Alchemist Tumblr fic written by Shayna Storyteller and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and features the pairing Roy, Ed, with additional tags for War, Fusion Fic, Tumblr Fic, Not Fic, Trans Character. Recorded in a hotel room. Special guest is Sweden. Live studio audience.
So there's a war. There's always a war now. Say it's the Ishvalan War. Except this time, there's no homunculus. No country-destroying plans. No dwarf in the flask. Just a power-hungry, racist ruler who doesn't know when to quit. That also means there's no Philosopher's Stone. So this isn't a war easily won. The East is dangerous. Resimbul is a dangerous place. And the Elrics and the Rockbells, they're dangerous too. Winry continues her parents' work, does what she knows they must have done, and protects Ishvalans. Heals the wounded, hides them, and shelters them. And of course, Al and Ed find out, and they help. Of course they help. Her two best friends. And Ed's a girl. She goes by Ed. It's short for Eden. Trisha helped her pick it out when she was 5. Winry provides her with hormones so her body looks like Eden wants it to. And she has a penis, but to be honest, that doesn't faze her much, because she's a woman, so it's a woman's penis, and that's that. Her and Winry are best friends, and the cutest girls in the village. Al gets in the habit of punching a lot of guys who try to hit on them. Not because Winry and Ed aren't more than capable of defending themselves, but because it's kind of fun. And they both ruffle his hair after. So these three children are doing everything they can to help stop a big war. But then there's a draft. A man from each household across Amestris must join the military. And if a woman from the household has already enlisted, it doesn't count towards the draft. The draft is for men only. And the Rockbells have no men. They are exempt. But the Elrics have one. Alphonse. And they're all devastated. And Ed and Winry are furious. If there's anyone less qualified to be a soldier, they don't know it. And it's Ed that comes up with a plan. And she ropes Winry into it, of course. That's what best friends do. Ed's going to disguise herself as a man and answers the draft in her brother's stead. You have breasts, Eden, Winry tries to argue when Ed brings it up, fists clenched at her side because this war just keeps fucking taking from her and she's sick of it. Yeah, well, I also have a penis, so I'm pretty sure I'll get away with it, Ed returns, smirking to hide the fact that pretending to be a boy when she's a girl is going to kill her. Slowly and completely. But it's for Al. There's nothing she wouldn't do for her brother. So she binds her breasts and steals her brother's clothes, leaving in the middle of the night so her mother and brother can't stop her. Winry presses a bottle of hormone pills into her hands, but Ed shakes her head and swallows past the lump in her throat. It's better if I don't, you know. I'll look more like a boy if I don't take them, she says, barely able to choke out the last couple of words. Winry sticks them into Ed's pack, summoning a smile for her best friend. Like you said, you have a penis. You can get away with the rest of it, probably. And Ed takes the pills, a desperate sort of relief sweeping through her, hugs Winry too tight, and goes for the train that's headed to Central. Winry hides Ed's disappearance for a day, until she's too far away for anyone to stop her. Then she sits down Pinako, Trisha, and Al and tells them the truth. And Trisha doesn't react much, hunches in a little, because Ed or Al, it's still one of her children. There's no good option. But Alphonse is furious. He's the man of the house. How dare his sister sneak off in the middle of the night to fight his battles for him? And he screams and yells and rages, destroys furniture and throws dishes until there's nothing left. Until Winry takes him into her arms and he breaks down sobbing. Because his sister went to war and he's here. And how the hell is he supposed to deal with that? And Ed enlists, but doesn't breathe a word about being an alchemist. She knows the second they know what she can do, they'll make her a state alchemist. And she'd rather die than suffer that fate. So she does her job and keeps her head down. Is given a gun she doesn't want to use. And she knows the Ishvalans, has treated their wounds and fed their hungry, and she's not killing anyone. If she dies on the battlefield, so be it. But she'll die with her honor intact. This is all going fine until she stumbles across a sobbing Armstrong. And she wants to run the other way because she's been terrified of spending time with the state alchemists. Knows that if she talks with them, she'll slip and mention alchemy and then they'll know. But Armstrong is crying and huddled up against himself like he can hide from everything terrible if he tries hard enough. And Ed slides down next to him and talks to him and comforts him. And honestly, it's a bit of a relief that there are others on this battlefield that hate what they're doing as much as Ed does. Of course she meets Roy next, and all the others, and they bring this young, pretty boy into their fold. And Roy and Ed dance around each other and orbit each other until someone, toss up if it's Maze or Riza, pushes them together, and Ed hesitates because Roy doesn't know that she's an alchemist, that she's a girl. But he's strong and beautiful, and his mouth on her is the only bit of real happiness she's been able to find in this hell. And she doesn't stutter at his hands on her, because she's straight, so having a man all over her is great. But it occurs to her when she's got Roy bent over his bunk bed, fucking into him, that Roy might be gay. And the thought of it is so terrifying that she actually freezes. Roy gives an impatient little thrust onto her to get her moving again. So she does, but she can't stop thinking about it. If Roy's not attracted to girls, this is going to end up being a really big problem once this war is over. And she frets and angsts and paces over it for like 2 weeks before going to Maze and being like, "Does Roy like girls?" And Maze gets all serious and is like, "Okay, yes, Roy is bisexual, but he swears nothing ever happened between him and Hawkeye. Please don't buy into stereotypes. He's really into you, so..." And Ed laughs, she's so relieved, and kisses Maze on the cheek. A little look of surprise goes over Maze's face, but then he's smiling his gentle smile at her, so she doesn't worry about it. One day they're stuck in a trench. Her, Roy, Riza, Maze, and Havoc. And they're going to die. They're all going to die. And if she was with a different group of people, Ed would accept that. Accept that death was better than the alternative. But she can trust them, she thinks, as she draws a hasty transmutation circle into the earth. "Ed," Maze starts, "what are you..." Then the circle flares to life, and before he can finish that question, they're encased in a bomb shelter, and Ed's hands are still faintly sparking. And they all stare at her in shock, because not even Armstrong could have done that, and she scratches the back of her head and goes, "So, what do you know?" And they know right away why she hasn't said anything. She doesn't have to explain. And that night, Roy holds her extra tight and whispers into her skin, "I'm so glad you escaped this. Thank God." And Ed kisses him to shut him up, and that's how they survive this war together, keeping each other's secrets and keeping the other safe. They make it through the war. Someone finally buys a clue and kills the Fuhrer and stops the war, and everyone can go home! As a state alchemist, Roy has to report to Central first. But he pulls Ed into his arms and promises to join her in Resin Bowl when he can. And Ed kisses him hard, because Roy still doesn't know that she's a girl. And he's going to have to find out eventually. And she just hopes he still loves her when he discovers she's a liar. So she goes home, and her mother cries, and Winry cries, and Pinocchio cries. Alphonse won't look at her and won't touch her at first, and she's terrified until he touches his hand, and then he just breaks, yanking her hard against his chest and going, "Sister, I missed you." Her skin is cracked, her nails are destroyed, and her hair is a dried-out mess. She hasn't worn anything but a uniform in who knows how long. So Pinocchio and Tricia give the kids some space, and Winry draws a bath that's near boiling, scented with lavender oils and lemon extracts. Ed sinks into the bath, and this is how they welcome her home, how they bring her home in the only way they can. Winry works on her hands and feet, working with a pumice stone to rid Eden of all her cracked, dead flesh. Al reverently works oils into his sister's hair, leaning down every few minutes to kiss her forehead, her cheek, her nose. After they work perfumed lotion into her skin, Winry working it into her shoulder blades, and Al doing the same to her legs, digging his thumbs into the knots of tension in her thighs, they wrap her in a too big blanket, and Al paints his sister's nails her favorite shade of red, while Winry brushes out her hair until it's dry and shining. Al's just finishing her toes as Winry smudges on her eyeshadow, swipes lipstick on. Ed's never been hugely into makeup, but it's so nice to be back home and have the freedom to wear it again that she has to blink fast to keep from ruining Winry's handiwork. Al helps her slide on a bra, black and lace and nothing like the dingy bandages she'd used in the war zone. And for a moment, it's all she can do to lean back against her brother's hands and not fall apart. And Winry slides matching underwear up her thighs. "We made you something," she says to Ed's hip. They bring out a dress. Not one of the ones Ed left behind and hang waiting for her in her closet, but one she's never seen before. Red and black, with a giant skirt and a sweetheart neckline. A beautiful dress that she has no use for in the country, but it's her favorite colors and gloriously feminine. And when they zip her into it, she lets out the sigh of pure happiness that is Alphonse and Winry grinning. They let her look in the mirror after that, her hair soft and flowing, and her breasts sweetly filling out the dress. And for the first time since she left, she feels like herself again. Throws her arms around their necks and thanks them fiercely. They parade her out, and Tricia presses a hand to her mouth and smiles a watery smile before saying, "There she is, my beautiful daughter." And Pinocchio cackles and goes, "Oh, it looks like Al's going to be throwing around a lot more punches." And that's when Ed tells them about Roy. And Roy comes to Rezumbul. Of course he does. Takes the first train out there from Central. He arrives nervous and excited and knocks on the Elric's door. And a beautiful young woman in a pretty lavender sundress answers the door. And it only takes him a moment before he is blurting out, "Edward?" "It's Eden, actually," she says quietly, and takes his hand and walks with him down the river and tells him everything. How she's a girl and why she lied so that she'd fulfill the draft's requirements and her brother wouldn't have to fight. And she didn't want to lie to him. She didn't mean to. But she also didn't mean to fall in love with him either. And Roy's quiet for a long time. And she's getting more and more anxious before he goes, "Okay. Don't take this the wrong way or anything. I'm going into politics, and I was 100% ready to do so with my young gay male lover at my side. I was prepared for that because I love you so much and you're worth any sacrifice. But considering the current political landscape, you being a straight woman instead of a gay male is actually perfect. Please don't hit me." And Ed doesn't hit him, because he still loves her, accepts her as her. And Ed kisses him hard and introduces him to the family, and they get married in spring. Then they move to Central for Roy's political career, and Winry moves to Central to set up her automail shop, and Al comes, because wherever his sister and Winry go, he is prepared to follow. And Eden is the worst politician's wife. She's loud and opinionated, and pisses off the entire scientific and alchemic community by casually proving a fundamental law of their universe wrong every other week. And Roy tries to act disapproving, but he thinks it's hilarious. Ed, Winry, Gracia, and Hawkeye get together every week for a girls' day. And at the same time, Roy, Al, Maze, and Havoc get together to drink and wonder every week if the girls are talking about them. They're not. The topics of conversation range from pie recipes to the hiking price of steel imports. And Trisha and Panaco sit at home in Resimbul, fiercely proud of the two girls and little boy they raised. Everyone lives happily ever after. The end. Featuring is Sweden as live audience.
Hi, I've been here the whole time.